All that matters is doing, not thinking.
Stan, you're upsetting me!
And I almost didn't show up tonight.
So glad I did.
All that matters is doing.
Pastor of Muppets.
Oh, no.
Hello?
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 Hey, what's up?
Somebody's got their speakers too loud.
That's probably me. I'll
put on my headphones.
All right.
I
don't have echo anymore. I'm setting levels too. I usually do this with Mike, but
does this sound all right now?
Yeah, sounds great.
Yep. All right, cool.
So you didn't make it to Aldi's though. I'm so disappointed. I was building a whole show around that.
Oops. I ended up going to a bar. So.
Oh, you could have gone to Aldi's after the bar.
I don't think they would have been open. Oh. We didn't meet up until, like, it was 9 o'clock, 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, something like that.
Well, it is a German grocery store.
Yeah, and I was reading their Wikipedia page, and it said that they're responsible for Trader Joe's, that they're the same.
Oh, see, there is so much for us to learn.
Yeah.
Oh, I like that already. What else did you find out, PC?
That was the main revelation.
Yeah, well, that's pretty good.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty good.
We finally got one coming down to Tampa.
That's a Trader Joe's, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I always want to call it Trader Vic's.
But, why is that?
Warren Zevon mentioned in Werewolves of London.
Oh, okay.
I know, it's a crazy way of...
That might
be it's a crazy way.
But in Scranton, we don't have one. I don't know. That's awfully upmarket. I don't know if we'll be getting
one. Is that the case?
A little bit. I mean, things usually, it takes us a while to get any new, or not new, but any, well, I guess maybe relatively new, but I have no idea how long that chain has been around.
Does it cost a lot of money? I mean, I thought that they were reasonably priced.
My sister used a frequent one. It's remarkably cheap.
That's what I understood. They just have good quality products.
Yeah.
Unlike a Whole Foods, which I understand charges ridiculous amounts of money.
Yes, right, yeah.
Hey, I see Sarah has joined us.
Hello, Sarah.
I don't know if my mic is working. Is it working?
Yeah.
Not bad.
Oh, okay. Okay, I feel like crap, so I'm probably not going to be too lively tonight.
Oh.
But hello, everybody.
Yeah, well, I've been feeling down since Randolph W. Thrower died.
Who is this?
Randolph W. Thrower?
Yeah, yeah.
He was actually... Wait, I got to get my flashlight now in my fort because I don't have any regular light.
Why do you have a fort?
Because it makes it sound better.
Oh, okay. All right.
But anyways, he was the head of the IRS under Richard Nixon back in 1969. And he got fired for resisting the White House's effort to punish Nixon's enemies by, you know, doing tax audits and stuff like that. So he's kind of a hero. But, of course, he falls out of history. You guys probably know Haldeman and Ehrlichman better.
Certainly, yeah.
Those ring bells. And John Dean?
Chuck Colson.
Who said that?
Brian.
Brian, very good. Yeah, and then he got religion, right?
Yes, he did, in jail.
That happens a lot.
Yes.
I think Coulson's dead, though.
Well, so is Randolph W. Thrower.
Mm-hmm.
But he made it to 100.
Whoa.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, that's a ripe old age.
I wonder if things went to hell after getting canned by Nixon, though. You know, did his career go veering off? I guess not too bad. If he lived to 100, he wasn't sleeping in a cardboard box.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Chairman of the City of Atlanta's Board of Ethics from 1980 to 92.
Oh, see, so he was just a good guy.
He landed on his feet, yeah.
Yeah.
And they put him in charge of ethics. Wow. Do they even have those anymore?
That's a good question.
And I don't know if you guys have been as excited as me about this whole fight between the CIA and the Senate.
No, I haven't even heard about it.
Information that the Senate has and the CIA is accusing the Senate of hacking their database.
No, I haven't.
Oh,
that's what happens when you get into this kind of paranoid space that these guys are at now. But my understanding is that what happened was they were trying to get information, the Senate, they were trying to get information about the torture. Because what had happened is some of the videos, when they were doing that stuff at like Abu Ghraib and stuff like that, the videos disappeared. And there were still some records available about it, written records, but the films were gone. They were doing research on it, and the CIA, my understanding is, in order to throw the Senate off, when they requested information, they gave them like 9 million pages of information, literally 9 million, without any indexing or anything. They did what they call an information dump, where you just overload the researchers, and you don't put it in any organized fashion, so they get lost. And apparently, within those pages, they were able to put together a number of documents regarding the torture memos. And when they started talking about it, the CIA turned around and accused the Senate of hacking their computers and stealing this data. That the spy agency is now accusing the organization that's supposed to oversee them of spying on them?
Yeah, I understand that.
There's kind of an irony in that. And I guess some guy, Brennan, who is now in charge of the CIA?
Yeah, I don't even know who the head of the CIA is.
John Brennan. Yeah, see? This isn't even common knowledge. Yeah, well, and him and Harry Reid, I guess, are butting heads about this, and the paranoia is coming around pretty deeply now.
What I want to know is why would they accuse anybody of hacking them when they provided 9 million pages of information where presumably everything, every bit of knowledge known to humankind can be found, you know, with 9 million pages. So why couldn't it all just have been right there in those pages? This seems, I mean, I know it's all disingenuous bullshit, believe me, I know this.
Right, well,
but it just seems really ridiculous saying, we gave you 9 million pages of information, but you are mentioning things that were not in those 9 million unorganized, unindexed pages. Therefore, you must have hacked us?
Well, I think they found stuff within the 9 million pages, not the whole document, but they found parts of it, and they pulled it out. And they put it in a separate section. And that's where the CIA thinks they've been hacked. And now the Senate actually has made hard copies of what they had because the CIA has, I don't know what you call it when you digitally redact something, but they've pulled the information back. But the Senate has stuff that's
printed it out.
Thank God.
They have evidence, right? This is exactly what's going on. See, I'm really exhausted and unwell, so it makes me pissed off at everything. This is exactly the kind of thing that is happening so much now, where people, there is a given fact, possibly video, that everybody has seen, and yet people for some reason think they can say, oh no, that didn't happen, despite the fact that there is concrete evidence that it did.
Absolutely.
And it's just utterly ludicrous, and it makes me want to shoot the world. So
you and Vladimir Putin.
I just want to shoot him too, though, so, you know.
What is he up to, seriously?
I don't know.
I don't know.
Hegemony?
Ask Sarah Palin. She probably has insight into his soul.
Yeah, she can see it.
She wants to bone him, so, you know.
Is that what it is? She wants America to have a president like that.
Yeah.
Not somebody that's thoughtful and considerate and...
Well, everyone knows that book learning is pointless. You can't learn anything from books. Everyone knows that.
It makes you wimpy.
Gosh darn elites.
Yeah, and you live in your head and you don't get anything done.
All that matters is doing, not thinking.
That's the way it seems like in our the market that gets rewarded, though. You know, don't think about morals or ethics. You just think about bottom lines. It does simplify life a lot, though. And then it just comes down to points after that. And the points are dollars. Any of you guys ever played Monopoly to the end?
Yeah.
I don't think I ever played Monopoly.
Wow, that's good. I've never been.
Good Lord. There's nothing good or not good about Monopoly. That's ludicrous.
About Monopoly?
Playing the game Monopoly? Oh, good, you didn't play that. You are pure. Good God, Frederick. Fight different, more worthy battles.
I never played it to the end. Because it always became offensive.
Well, mainly it gets boring.
Right, because one guy just keeps winning all the time because they got all the hotels and everything.
Oh, I understand. Okay.
Yeah, well, it's kind of, I mean, to me, I think that it's turned out to be a beautiful analogy for our economic system currently.
Of course it is, you idiot.
Didn't it spring from one?
I mean, all capitalism tends toward monopoly, which is what the game of monopoly is about. Good God, Karl Marx said it. You know this, Frederick.
Did Karl Marx make that game?
Yeah, he said, well, he didn't talk about the game monopoly, but he talked about capitalism tending toward monopoly.
Right.
So, I mean, Jesus.
It's leading to a point. It's not that I don't know about monopoly, Sarah.
Well, then express yourself better.
Well, first off, there's people that never even played Monopoly, and they don't know how important hotels are. Do you, PC?
No, yeah, you...
But as soon as you said that, I understood exactly
right,
what you meant.
Right. You might not have played Monopoly, but you must have seen the board at some point in your life. It's not too hard to figure out what it is. Yeah. Although you win beauty, you might not know that you win beauty contests and things in Monopoly, which is always a fun part.
I don't even remember that. Do you get money for it?
I think you get like $25 or $15.
Oh, that's not too bad, though.
Yeah.
Back in 1878 money.
Well, in the context of the prices in Monopoly, it's, it's something. It's something. I mean, you can buy a house on... Baltic Avenue, I think, for $5. That's one of the cheap, the slumlord properties.
It's part of the brainwashing, Sarah.
Oh, piffle.
Piffle. Anyways, did you hear about the toe suckage in North Carolina at the Walmart?
No.
Oh. Well, this was one of the stories that caught my attention. A guy apparently... talked a woman at the Walmart into taking off her shoes by telling her that he was a podiatry student. And then at some point in the process, he stuck her foot in his mouth.
What is that sound?
What is that gentle ringing?
That is a gentle ringing. It'll go away soon.
Okay.
It's an ignored phone call.
Okay.
Anyway, somehow he stuck her foot in his mouth, and he's tried it at another Walmart 15 miles away earlier in the day.
Wait, what are you talking about? Because I was eating pizza.
Well, just pretend it's a foot and you'll be right with us.
Okay, so this guy is putting a foot in his, putting someone's foot, a stranger's foot in his...
A woman that he met at a Walmart.
He said that he was a podiatrist. She took off her shoe, wanting him to examine her bunions or something. Yeah, and okay. Apparently at some point, he shoved her foot in his mouth.
And when he did that, she realized he wasn't a podiatry student.
Took long enough.
What? Wow, that's smart thinking on her part.
Well, this may be a Walmart, but they're not totally clueless about these things.
Yeah.
I mean, I would be mildly suspicious of anybody in a Walmart asking, say, can I study your feet? It's part of my senior project.
Walmart from the equation, and it would still be very strange.
Yeah, right, wherever it is. Yeah,
yeah, but only mildly suspicious.
Right, but that's the part they left out of the story. The part I wanted to know the most is, I want to read a follow-up interview with this woman, but of course they don't include her name.
On the other hand, good burp there. On the other hand,
that wasn't a bad burp at all.
It was a nice little burp.
Been drinking a lot of beer, so
it was gentle, like that the ring of that phone.
Yeah.
But podiatrists are apparently much beloved. I mean, a lot of women are plagued by their feet. My sister, when she was going to medical school, she went to medical school in Boston, and she said that in the North End, all the old Italian ladies, they loved their podiatrist, and they went to the podiatrist all the time. So you could think that here you have some going to Walmart, possibly she didn't have enough money to go to a podiatrist on her own, and her feet really hurt her. So some young kid claiming to be a podiatry student comes and offers to look at her feet. She might welcome this as, a gift from the gods.
That's
assuming that the average Walmart customer knows what a podiatrist is.
This is true, but
he probably said foot doctor.
Right, he probably said foot doctor.
I'm a foot doctor, ma'am, and I see your lip in there. Can I take a look? See if you got any bunions?
No, he probably was more clever than that and said, do your feet ever bother you? And she said, oh, my Lord, yes.
That's exactly what I wanted to know. That's a good one. I like this.
Right. And then he said, well, let me take a look. And she said, sure.
I'll just slip off your shoe for a moment, ma'am.
Well, yes, of course. And then if he'd been really clever, he possibly could have passed off the toe-sucking as some kind of therapeutic maneuver. But he didn't think ahead well enough.
He didn't have that many steps planned, yes.
He never thought it would work.
It didn't work at the other Walmart 15 miles away where he tried it earlier. It turned out that he was a sex offender.
No.
Oh.
Yes, who had been convicted of attempted sexual assault in 2001.
Mm-hmm. So he didn't just want to suck toes, unfortunately.
He just thought it might lead to better things for him.
Or possibly his previous sexual assault was toe sucking.
Right. Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
Wait. Yeah, that should be against the law, right?
Well, if you force someone to.
Well, he might not really force her. What if you just trick somebody?
I think that can be considered assault, too. I think that when you trick someone into going to bed with you by offering whatever, that is considered rape in some states.
By pretending you're rich?
Yeah, by stuff like that. I think that
if you
offer... I'm pretty sure.
By misrepresenting yourself?
Remember,
I'm a podiatrist. I make good money.
right. It could go. I think that there's some kind of something or other by misrepresentation that actually does qualify as rape in some states. I edited a book on rape law many years ago, and I'm pretty sure it's on the books in some states. It varies so much from state to state what rape is. So, anyhow.
Well, that's good, though. So there's a whole book on rape, though. Judges are supposed to read it and figure out what rape is?
No. There are probably a gazillion books on rape.
Oh.
you know, I mean, it was just, you know, yet another academic writing a book on rape. You know, what the hell? I mean,
yeah,
they got to write about something.
Yeah,
might as well be rape.
Alain de Botton, I like him. He was talking about how philosophy books, the average philosophy book sells to about 300 people, you know, in the life of the printing of the book.
Really?
Yeah.
That sounds about right.
Yeah, me too.
But then Reddit gets 40 million hits a day and, you know, TMZ and stuff like that. And he's... I can't remember the name of it, but he was going to make, like, a philosopher's news service. Oh, I got to find it. But so where they do philosophical analysis of news.
Oh, I'm sure it will be a big hit.
You know, like, how Kim Kardashian's butt.
Fox News is going to run. Oh, they're going to be scared to death. They're going to lose all of their viewers. They'll be flocking to the philosophy news site.
Well, Fox News is already dying, isn't it? This is just going to be the final nail in the coffin.
No, it's not dying.
Dying. Right. Is that
I think it's on its way down, though.
Well, maybe just the right...
I think we talked about this a little bit in the past, haven't we?
That's fine. I like to...
No, I don't mind that we haven't either. Yeah, it's worth covering again. I think it's on its way down. I mean...
For what reason do you think this? Well, what evidence do you have?
I listened to a thing on... a guy wrote a book. It was on Terry Gross.
The loudest voice in the room?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. And he said that there, he pointed out in the course of the interview, I didn't read the book, but he pointed out in the course of the interview that it had, the Fox News didn't have much of a role, or not the role that they desired in creating the last election. For instance, Chris Christie knew better than to kind of fully get on board with them. They weren't happy with their way that they can control the election, and they sort of thought that younger Republicans who think they might be making a splash in maybe the next election or the one after that were kind of cautious about
being associated with Fox News.
Yeah, because it's a channel that was, you know, the way like it was a channel that sprung up to give Bill Clinton a hard time. And here we are 20 years removed from that, or darn near 20 years removed from it. And it just seems like their moment has passed. I thought about somebody today I hadn't thought about in a long time. It was a Fox News pundit who, the same way that Bill O'Reilly made a name for himself giving Clinton a hard time. Remember Ann Coulter? And what a big deal she was maybe 10 years ago. And
right,
it's like,
she's
now,
nothing only, now.
What's that?
She's nothing any longer.
Yeah, the only time you ever hear about her now is when she amps up her rhetoric to such a degree that she's basically on TV using hate speech. And then she gets coverage. But
it becomes cartoonish, though.
Yeah, nobody cares about that stuff anymore. I think that's an encouraging trend. I don't think I made the connection during the last presidential election that Fox was a non-entity or less of an entity than
right,
it was.
Right, and weren't there polls like just like fantasy polls that didn't have any correlation with the ultimate outcome? Didn't they still have like Romney in the lead? Like,
Oh yeah,
they let like crazy. But the thing is that it might even with when, where I think the viewership is probably it's an old folks station.
Definitely.
So younger people are not going to be watching it. So that ultimately is going to make it either have to change or it will die. It is still the most popular news station.
Right. No, I should
say it's the largest segment.
Yeah. Yeah. So the fact,
plurality.
I mean, even if it's waning, it still has the biggest viewership.
But if you added up all the other stations, they're not the majority or anything. They just get a really big chunk.
But that's Fox.
Rupert Murdoch owns all of it.
Yeah.
So, you know, it would really be against his interest. So,
yeah,
but he does that. But look at Fox programming, and again, to cite the Simpsons, right, Mary, all kinds of programming that has spouts all kinds of politics that Rupert Murdoch would like to make capital offense. He wants to make money a whole lot, too.
His business mind is what dominates, though.
Yeah, yeah. So
and he can have the Fox News criticize Cosmos without lowering the ratings of Cosmos. I mean, I'm sure people watching Fox News wouldn't even be interested in that.
Right,
so.
I agree, yes.
Oh, it's true. They still want to be investigating Obama's birth certificate or something. They're not interested in the universe.
They talk about that Benghazi still a lot.
Benghazi.
Honest to God, I was in a doctor's office, and that's something that Sharpling brought up on the air a number of times. Why is it every time you're in a waiting room, the most polarizing news channel is the one you're staring at? But I was in a doctor's office like 2 months ago. I had a couple of appointments that I had to go to. And every time I would be waiting maybe 10 to 20 minutes, I'd see some mention of Benghazi. It was just like, wow, you guys are still going on about that.
Oh, they'll go on about that if Hillary wins in 2016. I'm sure they'll, and if she's a two-term president, they'll go on about it until like 2024.
And most regular people, the way they'll go on about it is they'll just go on, yeah, what about Benghazi?
I said that's what I was just doing. I don't know the first thing about that situation.
Right.
I did it one time, but I've lost whatever. I didn't retain whatever knowledge I had, and yeah, I just know it is like a talking point now for people who like want to like ruin Obama.
Apparently, the main guy that got killed that everybody makes a big deal about, he told them they didn't need any more security. He trusted the locals that they were working with. He shouldn't have trusted the locals. That's what happened. You know, when you got field set up all over the place like that, you can't have, you know, extreme oversight. You gotta trust the guy on the job. He made a mistake. It's not Hillary Clinton's fault.
Okay.
But there are also claims that, oh, she knew. This is what the people who are spouting Benghazi all the time is this terrible stick to beat her with. She knew something ahead of time and she didn't act.
I like how they're mechanically, the conservatives are mechanically shifting from Obama to now Obama and Hillary Clinton.
Yeah.
It seems thought out, doesn't it?
It's like there are a lot of people who, when they're trying to get out of a relationship, they get the new one lined up beforehand.
Yeah.
It's the same kind of principle. They're just piggybacking it, you know. It makes sense. They don't want to be without someone to hate.
Well, and Hillary would probably be unstoppable, though, right? I mean, between having the machine behind her, first female president.
Obama.
And he still won. Then the black men got the vote, and then women got the vote. That's the way it's going to be.
Clinton was really a very uninspiring candidate. She might be good at her job, but she's not a good campaigner at all.
We had that happen down here recently too with the woman. She was nice and she was smart and very competent, but she did not have the fire. And they ended up electing a lobbyist.
Oh, great.
Yeah, well, one guy made a joke. He said, well, that's a good idea. You know, you cut out the middleman, saves you money.
Right. Yeah. He's going to have, certainly have the electorate's best interests at heart. He can't possibly have any other motives for wanting to be in political power.
Hey, is that racist?
I'd have to learn. I'd have to rhetoric.
Holy shit, Dave Hill is here. Dave Hill showed up and he's fucking.
Frederick, so someone named Dave Bunyan, he said something in the chat that you called him. Toes.
I added him to the call already.
Oh, there he is.
Dave Bunyan, I thought, yeah, he must be the podiatrist.
Yeah, the podiatrist.
Is he having a hard time?
David, call Frederick.
Hey, there's Epic Soundtracks, also known as Iago Gladstone, asked me to call him out when I saw him.
Hey.
Hello. Do you prefer Epic or Iago?
Epic.
Okay. Yeah, you sound pretty good. You can get a little closer to your mic, but you're acceptable. Right.
No worries. Well, is this the Iago Gold's
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Also, Epic Soundtracks. Yeah.
Now, is that a Shakespearean reference, Iago?
I can't give away the origin, but that was a real person.
Oh, Mr. Mystery comes in, never talks, finally talks, says, well, I can't really tell you guys, you know?
So you're not a conniving fellow?
No.
Does crappy things with handkerchiefs.
Named after a historical figure, but Epic Soundtracks was in this band, the Swell Maps.
Yeah. I knew that.
Oh, you know that? All right.
Yeah. Swell Maps are with their... I'm thinking of a different band.
Lo-fi.
Yeah, they're pretty fun.
Yeah, they're good.
I figured you liked them if you named yourself after
them. Yeah, you're right. Yeah. Hey,
or he's
talking.
Really self-loathing.
Just like Stan loves Polk, 90210.
Oh, yeah, he loves James K. Polk, I'm sure.
Who doesn't, you know?
Hey, I'm going to add the Bunyan guy. Poor guy. There he is. Hey, Paul
Bunyan. I feel bad for
him. He just chose the wrong week to join the chat.
Bury him.
Hey, guys, this is Dave B. from Oakland.
Oh, we know that name.
Hey, I'm a novice with Skype here, but I thought I'd say hey, and I'm gonna be getting on a train, so I'm just gonna put on some headphones and listen to the Mayan thing.
That sounds fine.
Yeah.
Okay, good. And how are your feet?
are my feet?
Yeah. Any bunions or blisters or anything like that?
Oh, are we talking bunions? Bunions?
I refer to you as Dave Bunyan by accident earlier. So
and we've been talking about a fake podiatrist who was arrested for sucking a woman's toes in Walmart. So you see...
Dave Bunyan's only... that's only a few letters off. That's pretty close.
And we were hoping you were the fake podiatrist calling in to tell your side of the story.
Where are you getting on a bus to or a train to?
I'm actually walking to the BART train. I'm in San Francisco, and I'm going to ride to Oakland.
Okay.
Bay Area Rapid Transit.
The Bay Area Rapid Transit.
Is it really rapid?
It is getting old and scary and noisy and there's been some incidents. There's a tunnel that goes to the burbs east of me. The suburbs are like Walnut Creek and Concord, California, and there's a big tunnel that goes through a mountain. And a couple months ago, a BART train got stuck in there and started generating a lot of smoke that people were choking on.
Oh, how did it get wet? Did it hit a rock or something, or did it just...
I think it was some kind of brake problem.
Oh, okay.
But it's just an aging fleet of trains that are getting more problematic and noisy all the time.
Oh, so could be the last time we talk to you then.
Well, I'm starting to feel like that. I'm starting to get more and more trepidation every time I get on the rapid transit.
Oh, that's sad. Didn't they get any stimulus money for it or something?
Well, you know, you gotta do stuff to keep your heart rate up, so.
Okay. Scare yourself.
Can you make some kind of arrangement so that if you die, we are informed? So that we can warn you next week?
Yeah, I don't know. I should probably just put some kind of GPS tracking thing on my body so people know I was in that train if anything like cataclysmic happens.
And if you find me, please inform Frederick's mind thing.
Yeah, that'll be at the top of the list.
Yeah, yeah. I would hope so.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Thanks. That's for.
And then we'll think. You know, we'll have a few seconds of silence and remember the good old days with you.
Dave B, the podiatrist. Sad that he died in that tunnel the way he did.
Yeah. Yeah.
Smoke inhalation.
So who's the? Okay. So I recognize Frederick's voice. Who's the other voice I'm talking to?
Mine.
Sarah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Sarah. Is it Sarah?
Yes, Sarah.
Okay. This is Sarah from the New Hampshire, Sarah?
From Maine.
Sarah. Oh, Maine, I'm sorry.
Maine, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I heard the archives. I think I've heard the first couple of Frederick's mind things, but I'm not fully up to speed on the mind thing.
And but, I mean, if you're on the I used to be a very, very prolific poster on the FOP board till a couple of years ago, so you might also remember me from there.
Yeah.
So, hello.
Hello. Hi, Sarah.
Hope you don't die. Sorry.
Mike W's out there somewhere, and I think Mike W told me to call in.
Yeah, that's me. Yeah.
Oh, hello.
So yeah, did anybody get hurt in the tunnel when they had all the smoke?
People had like lung problems. I think nothing too serious, but I think people mainly were kind of traumatized by the thing. I would have been. I get paranoid about this stuff because every single day I am going in the underwater tube. you know, there's a big bay between San Francisco and Oakland. And fortunately, I don't think I've ever been in a stopped bar train in the tube for like more than maybe a minute. I don't mind the train stopping if we're above ground and we can see stuff around us. Mm-hmm. But
get closed in like that, kind of claustrophobic.
Yeah, well, I especially don't like the idea of being underwater if there's any kind of problem with the train.
How are you on planes? Do you have similar problems?
Yeah, that's a tube in the air.
In the air?
Which has lots of water in it.
Avoid Malaysian air travel, by all means. Yeah.
Had a lot of trouble about them.
Hey, they might be in paradise now, or do they know what happened to that plane yet? I don't know. I'm not following this story.
No, I'm sure they're all dead.
Oh, they might be in paradise. You don't know.
Afterlife?
No. They might have landed in some, you know, wonderful. They're there.
Like Lost.
Yeah, except nicer.
There is a theory that
jerks.
A U.S. naval base.
Yep. Oh, wow. What is that? But did they actually find that plane? I just heard it was somebody said it's in the Indian Ocean. So they
didn't find it.
I believe the airline has said told the people who were deluding themselves into thinking their loved ones were still alive. The airline has said they're dead.
Yeah. There was some scuttlebutt about a insensitive text message, but yeah, I guess at some point they just have to say, hey guys, we give up.
No, that wasn't scuttlebutt. They actually did that.
I'm harsh. Finding this story right now. That's quite remarkable.
They sent a text, really?
Yes.
Wow, that's
actually fine. They're just making an educated guess that it's in the Indian Ocean. Is that what's going on?
Yeah.
They've been out of gas for a while. I'm just saying.
Right. The whole thing struck me so odd is that a plane could go missing in this day and age. Like, that's the thing.
Yeah.
That's like what I find so troubling about all this. I guess the only thing I find troubling about it, you know, other than
the fact that, you know, a lot of people died.
If you think about it, though,
aside from that, I mean, that you have that with any kind of tragedy like this, you know, like a train derailment, say, or, you know.
But think about how the United States Air Force can roll over any third world country, pretty much. Their radar and logistics kind of suck, and I think this kind of proves it, you know. Just saying.
The text message read, Malaysia Airlines deeply regrets that we have to assume beyond any reasonable doubt that MH370 has been lost and that none of those on board survived. That was the text message. Imagine getting that. That was it.
Yeah, and like all eyes are on. Not only imagine giving that, but imagine saying that. All eyes are you. We can assume that in the entire world, this has been like of interest. And that was some lawyer's idea of how to like sort this out. Like, we'll just send a text. Like, that'll send be text. Cool, right? can you imagine? You know.
Well, their rationale was that they didn't want to announce it in a room and have everybody just kind of burst out emotionally the way they kind of did just.
Yeah, I saw clips of that on TV anyway. Yeah. What was that all about?
Well, the Malaysians aren't very tactful, I guess. I don't know.
Well, if it's still not found, I mean, this definitely has some place in the kind of the grand unified theory of all conspiracy theories. I mean, this can be just, I don't know, this just can be woven into any number of things of, you know, Illuminati ravings or whatever kind of nefarious forces are behind this.
It's clearly, it's the basis of those science fiction shows where they disappeared and they're going to come back a few hundred years from now, imbued with special powers, like the 4400, that show that was on some years ago. It's a science fiction trope. What is that sound?
Travis?
I'm walking to the BART in San Francisco, and I'm at a busy intersection where cars are.
It's okay. It's just it's unusually exciting. Yeah. I don't hear that much traffic where I live.
I was going to ask this before. Poke, what is your avatar? Are you there?
Whose avatar?
Poke's.
Oh, sorry. Had to turn on my mic.
Okay.
It's a Fu Manchu lionfish, Dendrochirus biocellatus. It's small venomous fish, like 4 inches from, I don't know, the central to western Pacific.
Mm-hmm. Why don't I see it? I don't see her.
And it's on a bed of dead coral.
You have to be, friends or whatever with them.
Oh, you're not my friend, Poke. Well, fine.
Oh, holy crap. I'm going to start prank calling your actual phone.
That would prove that you're really not my friend, so there.
I know, right?
So is that really the traffic in the back of Dave B, and it just sounds weird because it's of the noise-canceling system?
It must be.
Yeah, I think it just kind of like weirdly like a digital version of what the traffic would sound like or something.
Yeah, if you take out like 60% of the sound.
Yeah.
Okay. That's fine, because for a minute it sounded almost like somebody was, you know, like rubbing their. What have you done? Oh, no, now we're going to have to listen to the train for the rest of the
David must mute his mic.
Can you turn off your mic, or I'm gonna have to can your ass? I'm serious.
Hey, I tried headphones for a second. I don't think these are just like kind of listening to music kind of headphones. I think I don't think I can talk and listen to the headphones at the same time.
Right. Well, but, that we were going to recommend sticking with the headphones because your microphone, your microphone was getting us tons of background noise, I think.
Okay.
Stuff going by?
Yeah, I mean, I'm getting a more busy area, so I'll switch back to the headphones, and I'll just check back in with you and, you know, let you know if I survive the park ride.
Please do. We're going to all be waiting with bated breath.
How long is the trip? How long is the trip so we know when to get worried?
Let's see. Another 10 or 15 minutes, maybe.
Okay.
What's the tube made out of?
So we'll call it after 2 weeks, then. And after 2 weeks, we'll assume DNA.
After that, like, send a search party. And,
do you have a little pinging thing in your black box? Ping!
And the text message.
Yeah, you should probably start working on theories about what happened now, just to, you know.
We'll just send a text message to your loved ones beforehand,
yes.
So just as kind of a tracking, this is kind of a tracking thing, or
we'll just say never mind if it turns out that you're alive.
Hey, great news! We were mistaken.
Okay.
Hey, right, Dad, thanks for coming by.
Good luck. Good luck. Good luck. Good luck.
All right, thank you.
We're rooting for you, Dave.
This is so mean. He's nervous about being.
We don't even know what that tube is made out of, though. What if it's just like a big straw? And you know, they get those cracks in the side and stuff. Oh my goodness.
And why would you say we're Putin for you? That's totally wrong, given the circumstances of late. Twice, Frederick.
Enter the gates of hell.
I'm gonna have to dump him.
I think I just heard Satan's voice. I'm hearing.
I think he misunderstood us and thought that the bad sound was the good and the good sound.
Yeah, he turned off his headphones.
Right, we didn't want to hear him talk. We only wanted to hear the background noise.
Right.
Oh, I'm going to have to figure out how to dump them.
Hey, guys, so that was worse. That was worse.
Yes. Yeah, that was way worse.
Oh, yeah. Okay. You just made it, pal.
We heard the voices of hell.
Yeah, wow.
Ready to give you the heave-ho.
Yeah. Some hole in the Ukraine, George Norrie told us.
It must be like some kind of feedback or something when I plug this thing into the headphone jack or something like that.
Yeah, I think you sound fine now, though, right?
Yeah, you sound much better now. Yeah.
Okay.
But are you listening to us like a regular phone now without the headphones? Or are you plugging the mic into the headphone jack? Or vice versa?
I'm on a regular cell phone now. Yeah, with no interfering devices.
Okay. And is traffic going by now?
Nope. Well, probably will be soon. I'm in a quiet spot. I'm actually right in front of our city hall.
Oh.
And with a nice kind of Bavarian, simulated Bavarian-looking dome kind of thing.
Oh.
And kind of classical columns. You know, it's a city hall. And a few more minutes to the BART.
Yeah, and there's a siren in the background?
There is a siren in the background.
Just making sure I got this right. Okay, so, Randolph W. Thrower. Now you guys must know, right? Polk?
Not familiar.
Oh, all right, never mind. The ethical people don't
remember.
Oh, David.
Okay, I've got to clock out of bed and leave you guys in peace, and I'll check back with you guys later.
Okay,
bye.
All right, see ya.
Godspeed. Now, who's Randolph Thrower? I'm not familiar.
He was the head of the IRS under Richard Nixon. And he got fired because he would not punish Nixon's enemies with tax audits. And he just died this week.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
Yes, me too.
You sound moved.
I am.
Yeah.
Well, and what struck me is that we know the wrongdoer's name so well, but not the moral, ethical guy that got canned for saying, hey, no, this is wrong. I'm not going to do that.
At least he kept his ass out of prison. Give him that, you know.
Well, Nixon didn't go to prison.
Well, no, but all of his stooges did. Well, some of them.
Chuck Colson, we were talking about how he had an even greater second career.
True.
After he found God, and I don't think that's actually true.
It turned G. Gordon Liddy into a maniac. There was
right, I was just going to say.
He did get his own show and stuff, though, right?
Yeah, there's a whole second act for him, you know, as whatever he became. But,
now, can we get back to talking about the Pope? Well, I want to know what you make of it, Frederick.
So I think he's fantastic. And he talks exactly like the way I, when I was a Catholic, thought that Jesus was talking. You know, you don't judge, you don't go in the big houses, you give your stuff away, you take care, you talk to everybody the same.
Yeah, yeah.
But people hated him.
Yeah.
It's still pretty wild that we put things that are heavier than air in the air. I mean, I know it's been going on a while, but...
Birds, wow. Good Lord.
They don't weigh more than air. Most
birds
of
don't weigh more than air?
No.
Have you ever eaten a bird? I mean...
A sparrow?
Something.
Well, after they suck the helium out, they get heavy. But, you know, before that, they just drift around.
Yeah, they're like paper.
So they go to little helium stations and they suck up the helium and that's how they fly?
That's why they're so squeaky sounding.
Where are the helium stations?
They're in the trees, of course.
That plane that disappeared with the helium station?
Well,
they're in the trees.
It hasn't been conclusively proven, but there's a possibility. Yeah, it got lost at the helium station. Planes do disappear sometimes. It's a big world out there. And they're using 1950s technology to track most of them. The cell phones have better tracking than the airplanes do.
Now, can we get back to talking about the Pope?
I think he's the best Pope you can possibly have.
Beats the crap out of Fred Phelps. Come on, face.
You have no idea. He might have been an inspiring Pope. Fred Phelps.
God hates fags.
Hey, you want to see an Inquisition? Fred Phelps would have brought an Inquisition.
Oh, yeah, I guess. Boy.
He would have done it old school.
But that's just being a dick. That makes me happy.
I think that dude was more of a P.T. Barnum than anything else. Like,
well, the other theory, which is probably much more correct, is that he is a grifter. First Amendment grifter, and he was waiting for somebody to tell him that he couldn't say what he was saying so he could sue the government on First Amendment grounds and make a bunch of money.
Didn't a significant portion of the family have law degrees, as I recall?
That's what I've heard, too.
Yeah.
Well, that would support my theory, then.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I'm never going swimming in freshwater in Florida.
It would make your blood boil.
It's true.
What the fuck is wrong with you? Hang a chicken off a pole. So glad I did.
Yeah. Stan, you're upsetting me.
So glad I did.
Yeah. And it just seems paradoxical at best and insane. At worst.
Sorry.
Yeah, Mike called me up and said, he said, I got a couple problems. I still got the problem with my computer, which he didn't go into detail about, but he had said on Twitter that the monitor turned off and he can't get it to come back on.
I heard his keyboard tonight, even though he wasn't talking. I heard, yeah.
That was just resonance from previous shows.
Fair enough.
But that, and then he got called in to work at Massa's, and he has a job interview coming up, I believe, Thursday, with a publishing company.
The Stampinato Brothers.
It was a little surprising.
He was very excited.
Yeah, he kind of was. I think he was happy just to be getting an extra day at Massa's, to be honest with you, though.
Well, I mean, that probably won't last so long.
Now, can we get back to talking about the Pope?
He was washing women's feet and all kinds of stuff. I mean, he just keeps breaking the rules over and over.
Did he suck their toes, though?
I watched the video closely to see if that was happening, but it didn't happen.
No? No? Okay. Has he been seen in any Walmarts lately?
I'm not a podiatrist, but I am a Pope, so may I see your foot, please?
I went that.
It was crazy, and ended up like urinating on the crowd. It was just, it was crazy.
Jesus.
Now, can we get back to talking about the Pope?
Yeah, because he's like, he seems okay. He seems like a nice guy.
Yeah,
he would beat the shit out of everyone. He's all right.
Well, isn't that a thing?
Do I have to explain everything to you people?
God. Circle of life.
What was...
Every one of them ended up as a carpet surfer, as we say in the business. Everyone ended up on the floor.
Yeah.
Stuff?
Oh. What pushed you over the edge, Frederick? Pissed him off.
This guy, I get it.
It looks rather different. I mean, you know.
But not necessarily in pronunciation, though. It was closer.
Mensonge? I don't know.
No. Medium is the mensonge.
Message. Yeah, I guess.
I don't know. Anyway. It's stretching. I think it's stretching it a bit there. But yes, the medium is the message. The medium is the message.
The medium
is the message.
The medium is
a mess.
The medium is the message. Because the emphasis is on the medium. It's how you receive the information, more importantly than what the information contained within it is.
Which is bullshit.
I don't agree with that at all.
You gotta look at it from the big picture. Next week, I'm afraid it's getting kind of late now.
Yeah,
I'm pulling the plug at 11:30. So, but this is fun.
But yes. the medium is the message.
Mm-hmm.
You could say the medium is part of the message. I could agree with that, sure. But the medium is the message.
Well, the message is how you receive your information.
Yeah, but the message is... It's not true.
The way you receive your information is not more important than the information itself.
No, ultimately, that's almost wrong, which is sad, because of reality television. Like, we all like quality television. We like things with a narrative. We like things with storylines. But you know what? People are fucking stupid, and they watch the Kardashians. They watch the Jersey Shore, or they did watch the Jersey Shore.
Jersey Shore was fun. First season?
No, it really wasn't. And you don't live in New Jersey. So
it was just a
I do live in New Jersey.
He lives in New Jersey, Stan.
Yeah, I live in New Jersey.
Hey, your voice is getting a little high. Calm down.
And my dad lived in Seaside Heights, so I
know. You know what? My dad lives in Seaside Heights.
Okay, well, my
two brothers.
Hello, brother.
Lincoln Avenue. You know, motherfucker.
So Frederick, do you not watch? You watch movies?
Occasionally, maybe two a month. Maybe.
What do you mainly?
Watch music documentaries.
You watch music documentaries. That's what you mainly do.
Yeah, if I want to sit down, which I don't usually, this is the most I sit down generally is on Tuesdays, because I've kind of set that aside. But yeah, no, to just sit down on a couch and look at a TV or, you know, watch a movie for 2 hours, that's not my nature. Mm-hmm. I mean, I wait, you know, like if I had a broken leg or pneumonia or something, I might do that, but other than that, no, I don't. I like, you know, like I said, music documentaries I go to right away. And I did watch Five Easy Pieces not that long ago, probably 3 weeks ago, just because I'd never seen it before. And I remembered hearing about it. Mm-hmm. And somebody had made a reference in that was Jack Nicholson's breakout role. And then prior to that, we watched Andy Warhol documentary.
Yeah.
And prior to that was the MC5 documentary. So yeah, a lot of music documentaries and art. Hey, somebody called P.
Yeah, what is this? Come on.
That's Stan dumping out the aquarium trying to get the octopi.
Well, what is the so what is your favorite movie, Frederick?
Well, generally when I'm asked that, my answer is Brazil.
Brazil, really?
Yeah, I saw it at the drive-in, and I found that mind-blowingly great. And I have, that's probably the movie I've watched more, you know, on repeat watchings than any other movie.
I would think you were more of a Doctor Strangelove.
I love the concept of Doctor Strangelove, not the execution. You know, like, I like the writing, mm-hmm. I like the story, but I think I would like to have read it, have read it in a book than to seen it in a movie.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, no, Brazil, especially the Terry Gilliam unedited one where he gets to leave in all the fantasy parts and stuff.
Yeah.
Those buildings coming up out of the ground and stuff, they're just magnificent to me. Still, you know, as far as seemed very advanced at the time, and I still don't think that CGI or anything could still give you that same feeling.
Hey, I'm sorry. I had my mic off for a while because I had to go take the thing. But yeah, Brazil is like one of the greatest things I've ever seen. I saw it in the theater. Just was incredible. Never saw the director's thing you're talking about, but gotta concur with you.
Oh yeah, and I mean, so many of the criticisms just are so prescient, or however you prefer.
Well, what about Taxi Driver?
I'm a huge fan of Terry Gilliam.
Yeah,
his vision is just so awesome in everything. I don't know, not everything he does, but
Time Bandits was pretty damn great.
Yeah.
Even some of the stupid shit in The Meaning of Life was just so. It's all him, man. You know, when the stork drops the kid down the chimney and it drops out of the woman's legs, that was totally Terry Gilliam. You know that
you know
is.
It. You know it.
Right?
It's true.
All right, I'll stop. But that, no, that I love Terry Gilliam.
Yeah.
So what he.
Except his acting, when he actually acts, he's pretty terrible.
Well, because he can't be American or British either, you know.
Right.
He's American. And
his animation is amazing. His animation is glorious. But he really isn't a very... When he's included as part of the troupe, the Monty Python troupe, he really is a weak link.
I might even like his animation more than his directing. It was just... I know it seemed like of another time, but it... Almost steampunk, even, but just, it's incredible, you know?
Yeah, it's got surrealism and absurdism.
Yeah.
Oh, I agree. I think his animation is wonderful.
Well, I know what Brazil...
And the reason it's timeless is that the way he did it, and he was the only one who did things that way.
Exactly.
So it is timeless because it was unique.
Yes.
Well, and he had to buy Brazil back from the studio so that he could put it, you know, release his version of it.
Well, there, I'm going to steal his version of it so that I can watch it.
Yeah.
I have to do that, too, because I've never seen it.
It's got a different ending, and the fantasy parts are expanded.
Wow. So
it's a monster.
Fascinating.
Well.
Go ahead.
What about his other movies? The Adventures of Baron Munchausen. Have you seen that?
Munchausen.
Yeah,
Munchausen.
That was enjoyable.
Munchausen.
Yellowbeard was good. Yeah. Time Bandits was great.
12 Monkeys was
Yeah, I wanted it to be better.
Me too. I so wanted it to be good because the premise is, it's a kind of premise I like too.
Yeah.
But it was very disappointing.
Yeah. I even went to the theater to watch that one.
Me too, actually. Mm-hmm. One of the rare occasions I went to the movies in the last 30 years.
Me too. I've probably only been to like 6 movies in 30 years.
Probably that's the same for me.
Yeah, and so you guys, some of you are TV watchers. Anybody watch 48 Hours? Or is that like total crap?
48 Hours? You mean the Nick Nolte?
No way. I guess there's a...
that bullshit...
A weekly crime show.
Friday night aimed at elderly people.
Oh, okay. Well, a Newport Richie story made it onto the CBS crime show.
Oh, that how exciting for you.
Who was murdered?
Oh, a 29-year-old lady that had just moved in recently with her husband. I remember when this happened, back in 82. Mm. It was very mysterious, because she did. She just disappeared, and then a little later, they found her body in a lake wrapped in a blanket.
Yikes.
But they did not, and I thought it was her husband from the beginning because nobody else knew her. And his story seemed fishy. Something that she said she was just going to go for a walk and she never came back. And but then she was going for a walk in her robe and her slippers, which, you know.
But how ridiculous is it if you're in Florida and you're trying to get rid of a body and you wrap it in a blanket, how do you not find a place where there are alligators and it just goes away? How fucking stupid are people down there? Jesus Christ, come on. What? Step it up, Florida. I'm sorry. Forgive my indignation. I'm back to the whole thing with my voice going up again.
The point.
Okay, I'm turning off my mic now. I'm done.
I'm going to say it had a happy ending.
Distant laughing.
Frederick left the tent and he walked into his kitchen. And I think he's going to smoke a cigarette now.
He doesn't tell us that he's leaving.
I heard him walking away.
I know. He was laughing in the distance.
All right, I'm back. I just had to... back in the fort again. All right. Yeah, I did. I had to get up and move around a little bit.
Still at that tent?
I have a fort.
What is your kitchen like a fucking gymnasium? What the hell?
This is not a kitchen. Florida room, my friend.
Oh.
And so what does that mean?
It means there's geckos and crickets crawling all over the walls.
No, not the inside walls. Outside walls, probably. And not as many geckos as we have anoles. They're much more common.
Oh yeah, they're. Oh.
He's
kind of
creepy.
Hey, I'm a broad-minded and tolerant gal.
Oh, well, at least he's not Hitler or Stalin.
Oh, exactly. Stitler and Holland. Yeah, Stitler and Holland. Right? They're like a comedy act. They were like Burns and Allen, right? Or, you know.
All right, guys. It's almost midnight now.
Trix is sending us all.
I keep trying to say this politely. Well,
you're wasting his bandwidth for fuck's sake.
That's right, you're chewing up my bandwidth. And I'm out of storage space. I only got 2% left for this month.
Not bandwidth!
Not my bandwidth! Now, all right, guys.
All right.
May you all go in peace.
Okay.
All right. Pastor of Muppets.
Okay.
Toodles.